The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com. You were, in fact, not ready to rock.
I was ready to rock, and then I was like, oh, he's not responding that quickly. I guess I could just go, oh, no, there he is.
Yeah.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, you know, same old. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why, what's up?
Right off the bat. We have a giveaway going down because we forgot to do this last time.
I actually liked the way that happened last time.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
But I figured we could start off right now and talk about our giveaway. We have a really good giveaway from Allen Ed's Escondido. It's a complete, would you call it like a component kit?
Yeah, it would be like my Maverick has speakers in the back doors and the front doors and the dash, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like that would be a kit for something like that.
Yeah.
But then you can also separate it, and if you just want to use
it's
the
this
ones or whatever.
It's this right here.
What is episode is this? 137?
136.
Oh, okay. This is yours.
Yeah. It's an even one. But go to our websites, livelifecustom.com, grinder-tv.com. We got lots of stuff going
on. I'm putting some more stickers on there.
Oh, cool. You made new ones?
Well, so I had the C10 ones that I made for Dino's.
Mm-hmm.
Like of the headlight shirt I did, the tailgate shirt,
oh, okay.
And then another one. So then, but now I'm gonna do all the skeletons in one pack. So the Maggie Valley skeletons, the AZ Square, and the Texas skeletons.
Nice.
So
you'll have a skeleton pack. You'll have like a truck pack, basically.
Yeah.
Are you gonna move forward with the banners for the headlight shirt?
Did I not do that?
Did you? I remember someone asked for something, and you're like, "Oh no, that's a good idea." I don't know if it was the taillight or the headlight.
I usually put all the art on there. I don't know if
so
I have them on there.
I remember that from Dino. Someone asked, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's a really
good
idea.
If even old artwork like that, I don't have shirts anymore. They're always, and anything you see of mine, photos or anything, if you want a banner of it, I'll make it.
You
a banner. I'll do whatever.
Don't
you
threaten
do.
Me. Yeah. I'll freaking make it. Oh, yeah. Hold on. I got to stop touching the mic. I got to get my little fidget thing. Little fidget.
What do you have?
A little fidget cord here, just a little something to mess with, so I'm not touching the mic all the time. But
you're like a smoker that's trying to get over smoking, so you need like a sucker.
Yeah, like some sort, something to do with my hands.
Always need something in your mouth.
Well, it doesn't have to be exactly what you think. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah,
I got a lot of things to talk about today. I don't know. Do you have anything specific you want to talk about?
Nope.
No.
You mentioned that without giving me any sort of clue.
I know. I figured that's what I kind of, maybe I should have prefaced it because it's a little controversial.
Okay.
It's a little out. It's not really. But anyway, I just thought it would be interesting to do it this way. But a couple things. my week was interesting. It always is. But I want to talk specifically about one thing about how, you know, we were always talking about billet wheels and the longevity of them, and like, so I had an incident earlier this week that really shined light on the fact that I don't own billet wheels on anything. Cruising down the road in the Camry. For those who don't know, one of our dailies is a 13 Camry. It's sitting on 20-inch Alba Banks, my favorite wheel ever. I don't have really anything other than that car that fits 20s, so I can't like put on the 4Runner. I mean, I guess I could put them on the 4Runner because the 4Runner is technically built for 20s, but I don't want to. So anyway, so I'm on the daily, so we beat the crap out of those wheels. And they're still in really good shape. So I'm cruising down the road, I hit a pothole, and it blows one of the front tires out. And like, it was like one of those when you hit a pothole, and it's just like, it jars your soul kind of thing.
It's like when we I still remember when we hit that whatever going to through New Mexico on the way to Mini Nats, and it just like finalized the front end on the Titan. It was like, it was fine. And then we hit that, and then the entire rest of the trip, the Titan was like, bro.
Yes, it was exactly like that. Yeah. The almost like a canon event.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so I pull over. It's got a flat, which resulted me, like one flat resulted me in buying four brand new tires like it always does. I'll give it up. I kind of put myself on blast out before that I buy tires from America's Tires. But they got a killer warranty. I've gotten that'll be my fourth one. I've gotten warranted all four tires on this. Yeah. But what happened was is all the rest were done, and he's like, hey, you're gonna need tires, but we'll give you one for free, and then you know you buy the rest. Anyway, it's fairly cheap to get out of that. However, it really like I thought the wheel was gone. I'm all, that's it. These wheels are done. Like I'm gonna have to take them off, put the stocks back on, find another one. And but no, man, they were fine. Like
yeah, but that's the thing, right? That was one time.
Yeah, but
you don't know if it cracked. Like, I mean, look at the other day, Will Freeman's wheels cracked.
They did? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one of his wheels is cracked.
On
that's the thing
his
with
car
like
or on his truck.
That's the thing with with billet wheels, right?
Uh huh.
They're soft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But when you have a hard wheel, they're not soft. So when you do hit something like that, it could put a hairline crack in it because there's no give. So you have to get them welded. You know what I mean? Cause they'll leak over time or they'll start to crack.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Like there's pros and cons to both wheels. There's not just like, oh, I don't like billets cause they bend.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they bend and you might not have gotten a flat on a billet wheel. It just might've bent. And then you would have hit it with a hammer and bent it back. You see what I'm saying?
That's
like
a good point. Those are all very good points.
Yeah. Like, and the other day, Oliver pulled into a little car show by his place and just destroyed the side of his wheel.
Oh no.
On his Tacoma. Oh, no. $150 this dude came out to his house. It looks brand new.
Really?
Yep.
I guess that is okay, to be fair.
Yeah. So like if you curbed your wheel on that car,
I'd have to re-chrome them. That's a whole freaking thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So fine. Positives and negatives. Positive. Yes, you didn't bend a wheel.
Now you got me all worried. They're holding air. So I don't know.
No, they're fine. Just over time with a low profile tire on a wheel with no, you know, with that's just a hardened metal wheel or however you want to say like,
what are those wheels made out of? They're made out of aluminum, right? They can't be made out of steel. They'd be way too heavy.
They're cast.
They're like cast aluminum.
Yeah. They're cast.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I think, I mean, I don't know. This would be a good, when we talk to Jaime, we can talk to him about this stuff, but yeah, like there's just no give. So if you hit something and that tire goes and then, if it does hit like the road and the wheel makes contact with it, like then it could just, they don't crack. They don't bend. They crack.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Positives.
That makes sense. Like a billet wheel soft. It'll take an impact. You can polish them. You get a scratch, you sand it out, you polish it. You're probably good. Yep.
Okay. All right. Fine.
I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting thing to talk about.
We talked about buying tires before, like buying tires. I go to a Discount Tire, American Tire. It's the same thing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I like that because like the tires I got for the Titan, they have like an 85,000.
I know
mile
they're
warranty.
And it's $16.
These ones weren't. I didn't get the.
You just got the
roadside. These were just the tires, but for its free lifetime and balance. So like before we go over, when we go on a trip and stuff, I just make an appointment, go down there and have them rotate and balance them.
Yeah. No, that's a good point too. I like the hat because I've warranted three tires already from one time I was pulling through a car wash and I got a bolt in the side of the tire.
Yeah. Road hazard. Yeah. Same with Walmart too. Like you can get a road hazard through Walmart and it's like, it's definitely. If you drive a lot and like drive a lot, you're going through dirt roads. You're just, you guys drive like psychopaths.
So. Well, that was the other thing. So this thing like hit the pothole super hard and this whole thing got, you know, messed up. So the next day I was driving past the same spot. So I looked at it. It was pretty, they patched it. Funny enough, I drove past it again this morning and they patched it. So it was enough for them to patch it. But the front struts are blown out on that car. So like it was an extra just because there was no absorption, dude. It was just. Bam! And all I could do is just go, fun! And
then
get off to the side of the road. Anyway, it was a whole thing.
That's the worst, man.
Yeah, it is the worst. Well, we always say that buying tires is the worst. That's like the worst day of the year.
It is.
Or
it is.
Part
it, is.
Of whatever.
It sucks.
It's because you're just like, I need them. You know, you need them.
Yeah. Like, what do you like? But I went.
But
in
my there. Other ones, my other ones still work.
I know, right?
We are lucky though that we don't have to like go through like winter tires or.
Oh, like, that's true. Yeah, like the Canadians and stuff.
Yeah,
that would suck. Imagine having to change your freaking tires every year, like do all that.
Well, they have like a separate set of wheels and tires.
No, I know, but you still got to go get them on. You got to go do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was one interesting thing too. Is when I went in there, and the guy's like, "Hey, man," he's like, "You're gonna need to new tires." I'm like, "Okay." You know, like, what else are you going to say? No. He's like, hey, man, these things are bald.
It just depends. Because there's, like, they'll try to, some places will try to get you. The America's Tire is pretty good, but, like, dealerships are real bad about it.
I've never bought tires at a dealership before. That's got to be an interesting thing.
Well, they'll, like, I've seen stories online where mostly women will go in for something, and they're like, hey, you need tires. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I just bought tires 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just on the off chance that you go, okay.
Yeah.
Then they just made some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't talk about it from that experience. But yeah, America's Tires, they got that little machine that they just run it across. They'll show you. They're just like, hey. And which I kind of do feel, I did feel like, I guess, stupid or like treated like I was stupid. And I get it. Like thousands of people roll through there and buy tires.
Yeah.
So he does a thing, goes inside. He says, hey, you know, let me show you something. And I was like, okay. So he goes over to this chart and he's like showing me this chart. And I felt like such a child. He's all, now this is green. This means it's good. And you're at 15, blah, blah, blah. And you're right here, right here.
You said, okay. And he goes in the background and puts a little like asterisk on this thing. He's like, got him.
Got him. Yeah. So anyway, that was.
But the contrast to buying tires being a shitty thing is when you have all four new tires.
Oh, it's such a good feeling.
You're just like, oh, this is a brand new car,
dude. It is, and just looking at the car, like, it's so funny you say that because I was driving home and I was thinking, like, I love brand new tires. I get home, the car's just sitting there.
You should have had him put some new struts on the damn thing.
Oh, that's Monday.
Yeah. Oh, you're taking it down Monday. Yeah,
oh, well, because like, see, I don't drive that car that much, so like, I knew the struts were going out.
Yeah,
and then you know, I don't drive it much at all. That's Angie's daily that she goes to work every day in, so I don't drive it much. I get in and it's like a dump truck. I'm like, Jesus.
It'll be really nice now. New tires and new struts.
I know. It's gonna be like a brand new car.
I know.
It is. Well, it's better last for at least until we pay the Tundra off. Anyway, so that was my wheel adventure. But I have another thing to discuss, and I don't know how long we can go on this. I got this in the mail.
This one?
That's the one. I think we're on the same page. Well, literally, we're going to be on the same page because I have stuff to talk about.
Well, that's what was funny. When you mentioned, you were like, I have stuff to talk about. I'm like, oh, he got the new mini truck in because I saw you post it.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, he's not even going to give me a heads up. He's not even going to give me a heads up so I can flip through the magazine and also discuss
And that's what I was saying. Like, I didn't know whether, because like.
Just a surprise. So I went out and checked my mail last night and there it was. And I was like, I'm just going to read Frank's mind. I know what he's going to talk about. So I'm going to flip through mine too.
Okay. Do you know specifically what I'm going to talk about?
No.
Okay. All right. So, but it's actually funny because like the magazine, great. Good. Everything's great. Looks,
it's really nice.
Yeah. You can tell that everything's coming together. You can tell that they're really dialing this thing in. My complaint is not with the magazine itself. I have a complaint, by the way. That's how I'm going to start this.
Complain away.
I have a complaint. So the cover truck this month is Doug Wilson's Tacoma. It's a pretty fairly well-known truck. It was built in the early 2000s by MIC. Had a lot of hands in it. Doug's had the truck. I mean, you can read the article. Like, it goes into detail about that. My complaint is it lacks some information, specifically about our really good friend Alan at AK Airbrushing.
It's not. I didn't even read the article.
Yeah, they don't even mention him in there. And
no, really?
Not at all. Not one time. Not even really? By the way, it was here for something. It's.
Oh, really? Yeah, because then I could have looked at it. So is there like a breakdown, a thank you thing?
There's no thank you thing. At the end there. Usually they have. Let me double check. They do. Yeah, they do have like a breakdown of the truck, but it doesn't mention anything about Alan or anything like that. So I just want to take the time to kind of give Alan, you know, his due on this truck, because Alan did a ton of work to that truck.
Yeah.
Like a ton of work. Like I said, the truck was originally built in the early 2000s by MIC and a few other people. And as things that are built a long time ago, you know, it gets a little rough. Kind of what the catalyst was, from what I know, and I don't know the exact story, but I guess it was rear-ended, and so it needed some work done to it. So Doug took it over to Alan and had him start working on it. And Alan basically restored the truck.
Yeah.
He basically restored the truck. He went over the paint and he didn't just like fix the back, like, and added some touches to it. He went through and refinished the entire truck.
Yeah.
So I talked to him and I was like, hey, you know, that's kind of like, that's not cool. You know, I'll say that it's not cool. And I'm not putting, I don't know. And I'm not directing the blame at any one particular person. I'm just sort of like saying this out there. So I talked to him and I said, hey man, that wasn't really cool that, like, you know, they didn't even freaking mention you. And one of the two reasons, like, one, Alan's a good friend. You know, I feel like I'll always go to bat for him. And two, like, this always kind of happens to him. You know, he always doesn't get the credit he deserves on some of these things. Because if you were to sit down and, like, write down all of his accomplishments within this scene, they're huge. Like,
oh, yeah.
He has built, big time. He's built some really iconic things and rarely gets credit for them.
Yeah.
So I hit him up and, you know, I just was talking to him a little bit. And I said, well, you tell me exactly. I said, I don't want to get, you know, any details missed or, you know, misrepresented. So you tell me, like, what you did to it. And he sent me a quite a long list. So I thought, if you don't mind, we could just go over them.
Let's do it.
All right. So he says, it's a few bullet points. And he says, we fixed all the bodywork, cracks, dents around the truck, reshot every panel due to that. We shaved a lot of the graphics and blended into them. We re-airbrushed all the cards because the old ones looked... not so
just
good.
Old, yeah, older.
He put it a different way, but also added poker chips throughout. He airbrushed roulettes on the headlamps, painted the engine parts and airbrushed like a slot machine, redid his door panels and ran graphics into the door panels. So he redid the graphics to be incorporated to the interior.
Yeah.
Redid the center console and molded Acura remote to the console, getting rid of the old gauges. Airbrushed the Queen of Hearts in the back, made small steel bolts on covers for the wheel wells and airbrushed some dice on those. And then Alan being Alan, you know, he's all, that's all I can think of for right now. The guy who did the interior is a guy named Suede. They gave him credit for the interior cause he did a killer job on that interior and that audio and stuff like that. But like I said, I read it and I was just kind of a little like, hey, what about Alan? You know?
Yeah, because they talk about Steve Van Diemen. He's the original painter.
Yeah, that guy, I mean, should get a ton of credit too. It was his initial concept and design, and that's what everybody knows that truck for, you know. But it took someone who has, one, obviously talent. Like, Alan has endless talent, but it also, and Alan is like super passionate about the scene too, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
And so when he's presented with something like that as a restoration, as a sort of like, maintaining of history, he takes it very seriously, and he's obviously he's a professional and he's going to take anything seriously, but him being, you know, so passionate for the scene, he's going to take like an extra, you know, extra care of that.
Yeah. You know, this something similar happened when Dave Prater did the Toyota Blazer,
right?
And it was on the cover of Mini Truck, and that when Dave got that truck, it was Bob Grant, you know, did all the metal work and did all this stuff, but like, it was far from being anything done. Like, Dave did everything to that truck. And in the article, it was the same way. It was almost just like Bob Grant. Mm-hmm. Bob Grant deserves a ton of credit. But at the same time, like, to finish something in, or to completely change it, you know, or to restore it or however it is, like, those people deserve their accolades.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's what I told Alan.
I think a lot of times people get lost in like the famous stuff, like the quote unquote, like the Bob Grants, the Steve Van Diemens, the MIC, the this, and then you got these, I don't want to say little guys, cause that just makes it, but you have these people that like Alan, you know, he did a lot of work, and like Alan's truck is sick and he's done a lot of sick stuff. And like, so he definitely deserves a little bit more than that.
Yeah, for sure. At least a mention. And like I said, I don't know if that's an editorial thing. I don't know if it was a miscommunication thing.
It probably, it probably was just a mix of things. I have done this with CK Magazine where I shot a truck. It was the guy, his dad had passed away, and it was his dad's truck, and it was like meant the world to him. And they didn't even, they didn't write anything about that in the article. Wow. They didn't write an article at all. And then they did, they changed the name of the truck because the guy didn't give a name. So they just did. And it wasn't anyone's fault. It's just the way CK sometimes does things is they don't, they're not, they don't really write an article all the time, but so they actually re-ran the truck. I went and shot a rolling shot of it and a couple different shots, and they re-ran it as a part two and talked about it.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, the dude was devastated. You know, that, that was his whole thing, was getting that, that truck dialed in for his dad that had passed away. So yeah, there's, I mean, the things happen. It's no one's fault. It's, we're not blaming anybody or anything like that. But at the same time, I was talking to Alan, and he said that Doug is going to be on Our Lifestyle.
He did. Yeah. He also told me that.
So he's, so I'm sure that he'll talk about it there, and we're going to have Alan on the drop, at some point soon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping, I told him it'll be when I bring my truck out. So, I just got to get my truck either over to Tanner, or if Tanner's not going to do it, I'm just going to have Alan do all the wiring and stuff.
Yeah.
Those guys over there.
Yeah. I'd love to sit down with him. Just to kind of give before kind of give a little prelude to Alan coming on. He, I guess he's best known for painting the red Toyota with the rock stars all over it. With it's a extra cab 86 body style Toyota with red, and it has like all the rock stars and stuff on it, and also the blue Tundra that was built by what's the name of
Extreme
that
Audio.
Extreme
Joel.
Audio. Joel.
Yep.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stories, because when Alan's shop was next to Joel's Extreme Audio.
Yeah, right off of there. And off the 215, huh?
Yeah, so all these builds would come out of Extreme Audio, and people would just say, Joel, Extreme Audio, Joel, Extreme Audio. They would, the paint was never like Alan painted it. It was just that.
And so the defining feature of those trucks, the blue one specifically, is the airbrushing. The airbrushing, like the huge, I think it was, I don't know what was on the roof. It was like a cross or something on the roof. That, and then like all the little details and the console and everything. Yeah. Oh, the wheels. Like that was a big defining feature of that truck, was those Lexani wheels with the airbrush lips, you know, and Alan did all that.
Yeah. And that's a case, not just of Alan. That happens to a lot of builders and a lot of, just builds in general, where things will get left out, you know, details will get left out, or certain shops will take credit for this or not say this. I mean, I've seen stuff leave Alan's shop and then go to another shop, and then that shop reposts it with no mention.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like kind of like, man, that sucks. So
yeah.
I really can't wait to get my truck done and like I want to, when Alan paints my truck, like I want to be there when he's painting it, so I can like
document it,
properly film it, document it and all that stuff, because it's not going to be a fancy paint job like he's done in the past. It's going to be a boring paint job.
Right.
But at the same time, I can take the video of him painting my truck a basic white and pan it over to where he's a cool paint job that he's done, and then back over to mine.
Well, you did make the video before at his old shop down in Menifee.
Yeah, and we're going to do another one once his...
That was a cool video, too. That was really cool.
That was cool. His new shop is amazing.
Oh, I know. It's so nice.
So he said it's almost done, and when it's done, he's going to have me come out and do another video. So, like... Yeah, that's it's super cool. It's also fun fact where they filmed This Versus That, the Hoonigan
stuff. So you're talking about the Flobob Airport.
Flabob
Airport.
Yep.
And Rubidoux, California,
which is an amazing place.
It is a very special place.
To me, it's where I went to high school.
Well, I've just heard all the stories that
which where I went to high school. It's where we all got pepper sprayed at Club Metro one night, and which was just around the corner from Alan's shop.
Oh my gosh! You follow that, or you sent me TikToks of that guy who goes around Riverside, like looking up all the old venues and stuff, and then he comes to Metro and it's just nothing. Like,
there's nothing there.
They're just like, let's just get rid of this. Growing up, it was always the stories out of Rubidoux and Muskoy. Oh, those were always the stories that I heard all the way up here in the desert. Like, don't go there.
Don't go to Rubidoux.
Don't go to Rubidoux. You're gonna get freaked. Yeah. Clapped.
Nah. Rubidoux was fun, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, anyway, back to his shop. He's doing, his shop is so cool and growing so big. And again, he's passionate. He's passionate about, you know, building a shop and just being a real proactive member of that, you know, the airport and doing things. And, you know, he's trying to put a show together and he's doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because this shop is at, it's at a small airport, Flabob, if you guys want to Google it, which has a lot of history. And they just signed something with the city where, because it's all being built up, like behind there, there's homes and all that stuff. But it's, they signed a thing where that airport is there forever now.
Oh, it's like a historical thing now?
It's like a thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting. So in that, within that airport, there's like, you know, all the old war planes and like, there's just a ton of history. So it, it's not only a paint shop where they paint cars, like they've painted planes, big planes and all this stuff. So it'll be fun to do that video and just have them just give like, obviously a little history of his shop. And then a future, you know, this is our shop now. And then also just like the location.
Yeah.
Talk about the location a little bit.
One other thing to cap that off is, and I've said this before, Alan painted my truck too. He painted the 4Runner and he did all the airbrushing. And
if you got your interior all done, we could shoot a feature of it.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know. And then you could be like, talk about Alan in your feature.
Well, and like, you know, I kind of, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, I had to do my due diligence too when I did my whip check Wednesday with Switch. You know, I told him everything about it, but you know, he forgot that one part. So I had to go back and say, hey, can you just add this in there? Cause this dude was a huge part of putting this whole thing together. So,
yeah.
And that's kind of like, again, not pointing fingers or saying blame, but you know, you have to, as the owner and as the facilitator of these builds, you have to do your due diligence too and go out there and say, hey, look, this is what it is. And again, mistakes are made, you know, but you have to like go say, hey, you know, by the way, can you just mention this or it's actually this, you know?
Yeah.
So everybody's,
it's a big team. It's a big team effort too. Cause the shop that does it, like there's a lot of painters out there that don't treat their customers well.
So. And we could get into it.
Everyone has horror stories about everybody.
Especially paint seems to have a very unique thing about it.
Yeah.
And not to beat up on painters, but it's not just painters, it's painters, it's fabricators, it's upholstery. Like a lot of people who work in this space, I don't know why that is. We've talked about it before, but I don't know why it is. Why does it so often happen that people?
It's very easy, and I've seen it with my own two eyes. So you have like painting a car is not difficult. It's all the prep work, right?
Oh yeah.
If you were to walk in a shop and someone handed you a paint gun and the truck was already masked off, already taped, you could paint the truck. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause even if you run it or whatever, like you can get that out in color sanding later if it's a two stage paint job. So like most people can't do that. They don't have the facility to do it, the time to do it, or the knowledge to get it to that point where, let alone mix paint, do all this, blah, 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 blah. But a painter that is in the industry can do it in a half a day. Mm-hmm. I've seen someone mask an entire car off in their garage in like 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
Fast. Yep.
Talk about Dave.
Scuff the car down and paint it in the garage. So like, but like, so to them, that's nothing. That's easy. So if a car that looks beat up goes into a garage and then it comes out of the garage with a brand new shiny paint job on it, your eyeballs are like, holy crap, this is a brand new car. And you're not capable of doing that. So you have to take it to these people. So they can easily say, this took a month to do. This took 2 months to do. 3 months. Hey, it's been there for 6 months. Yeah, man, I know it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work, but they're not working on that thing for 6 months.
That's true. They're,
you know, so, I'm not saying like a restoration or a custom job. I'm saying just like a, like whatever. Like they can, most places, like I've seen just a lot of places do some shortcuts, get it in there, get it out. And you're not going to, none the wiser, because as long as the bodywork's not cracked, as long as it's straight, the panels line up and it's shiny, you're a happy customer.
Right.
So they will, a lot of shops, same with interior, same with fabrication. They'll take your money. They'll pay a previous build. Then yours sits. They got to wait for the next one. Yeah. And then it just turns into like this domino effect. Mm-hmm. And then you're in paint prison, fab prison. And then I worked with a painter that did this. Like at his shop, I was trying to help him manage it because he was a talented guy, but he just didn't have any skills as far as the shop goes, like the managing it. And he would do the same thing. He would run out in the shop. He had some overseas customers. So he would like do a panel primer on it, take a picture of it,
oh,
bill the dude.
Uh huh.
because he needed money that day.
Right.
And then it would sit for a month, and then he would do it again. And like, but the guy overseas is like, oh yeah, he's working on it.
Right. Because he's none the wiser. And no, I see what you're saying. Like a lot of people are like that. Like, yeah, you don't
they
know.
Don't know how to like take a piece of metal, bend it, put Bondo on it, and then put it in primer. They don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, when they see that it's done, they're like, oh, cool. Here, I'll pay you.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know idea. And it just turns into a domino effect. And I saw that guy do it and screw a bunch of people. There's a guy out by you, a fab guy that's in, has screwed tons of people. In fact, he screwed Alan over. Mm-hmm. So like, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. Like,
well, I think you nailed it on the head. Like, and I think you nailed on the head. It's the management. Like a lot of these dudes are super talented, but they don't know how to run a business. You know, they don't know how to manage money. They don't know, which is not necessarily their fault, you know, because like they just have a skill, you know, but it takes another completely different set of skills to be able to run a successful business. And I think like you also experience that too when you work with bigger shops and you see the ins and outs and the day to day operations on how they work. Like some shops have it dialed. And I think now, I don't know if I'm looking at it through like rose colored glasses necessarily, but I think now there's more and more shops like that. I think, you know, at least it feels that way. Like back in the day, it was a lot of the shops how, you know, we used to think about it. But I think a lot of the shops are changing now. Or at least maybe what had happened was is they weeded themselves out.
Yeah.
Like the bad shops are going to close anyway.
Yeah. And I even told Alan this, I think, because he told me something about another truck he got screwed over on. Dude's been screwed over quite a bit.
Mm.
But I'm like, look, the next time someone tells you that they could bag your truck for $2,000, don't take it there.
Don't. That's the
just
other.
Don't do it. Like, take it to the guy that's going to charge you $10,000.
Yeah, because at least you know you're going to get it back.
Yeah, it's going to suck. You know, buy once, cry once. That's what someone told me one time. They just said, buy once, cry once.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's
a great point. And that's another great point with how you end up in these situations. Because again, it's that management thing. Like if you're an amazing fabricator, amazing painter, you're like, yeah, I think I could do it for a couple grand. Well, no, you can't.
No, and don't tell people you can do that either.
But,
like, don't.
But like, they fall into the again. Maybe not fall to their own, but they fall victim to that mentality.
Well, they don't want to let the customer go.
Oh,
they don't want to say it's going to be $20,000 to do this, and the customer goes, "Well, I don't have that much money, so I can't do it."
Oh, okay. Wait.
No. So in their mind, they're battling it. I've done it. Growing my business, I'm like, what do I tell this person how much this is going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to fly across the country. I got to spend 4 days traveling and doing this job, and then I got to come back and spend a week editing, and I got to do all this, you know, like, and then I used to say super cheap, and now I just say super expensive. And if you don't want to do it, then that's totally fine. I'll just move on to the next one. But that's a hard thing to do, is tell someone no. Or if, you know, like if I come to you and I'm like, hey, how much to paint the truck? And you're like, it's going to be like $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nope. And you're like, wait. $15,000. I'm like, now I've screwed you, because now I'm gonna barter you down, and then when you
screwed each other in that scenario.
Yeah, and then you spend all the money, and then
there's
never a price, like how much to bag and body drop my truck. No idea, man. Mm-hmm. Charge hourly, do this. But the biggest success, the most successful thing you can ever do as a business, is do what you say you're gonna do and finish the job.
100%.
Because people will bitch all the way through it about how much something costs.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get it and it's done,
they don't even care anymore.
They don't. They're like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's done. Like, just finish the job.
Yeah.
Always finish. Don't. Because if you screw yourself on the price, you're not going to want to finish the job, and you're going to tap out, and then you're going to have to get another job into the shop to pay to finish that. And then now the domino effect has officially started.
There's another little pitfall to that thinking as well, and I've experienced this as well, is when you in that scenario, you know, you say, okay, it costs $20,000, we're just using these numbers, it costs $20,000 to do this. Well, I can't afford that. Well, no, okay, no, I'll do it for this. And then you both agree, okay, well, now the guy who's creating the thing goes, well, I'm not making any money on this, why should I, you know? And then again, there's another little pitfall. So now you're like, well, I didn't make any money on this, so why should I even care, or why should I even take the time to do it how I would do it normally? And then now you've created another problem. So that's 100%. That's another mentality to break out of too. I wonder if a lot of these dudes who are extremely talented, but want to do this thing, you know, I wonder if they would ever think to bat, like, what about if I just work for somebody else, you know?
A lot. That happens quite a bit.
And it would make a lot of sense, you know? You got to do your craft. You got to do what you love to do. But then you have someone else who knows how to do the other end of it.
Yeah, that's a whole nother like avenue you could go down, because if you're super talented, you want your name out there, right? And then you have to balance the hump being humble, right? So then you're just like, okay, well, like I'm going to own a shop because I want my name, you know, Good Fabrication, Good Garage, whatever it is. And I want my name, but then you got to hire guys to work for you, and you got to make sure that those guys, their work is up to your standards. Mm-hmm. So you got to find good guys. You got to pay them well. Mm-hmm. And then you have to like manage it. And then it's just like, it's a whole thing, right? So saying no is more advantageous than saying yes sometimes, because if you just want your name on everything and you want to build it and you want a consistent paycheck, you can't pile your shop up with builds, you know, just get a couple in there, do them, finish them, and then on to the next one. And then, you know, if a customer goes somewhere else, then they go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big avenue to go down, like that whole, working for someone else versus owning your own shop, knowing your capabilities as far as a build. Mm-hmm. And then also knowing your capabilities as far as like, cause there's like a lot of guys out there that are like painters, but they're not, builders.
Right.
So they need someone to build the truck and then bring it to them. Mm-hmm. And but then there's guys out there, they just want to do everything. Mm-hmm. They want, like,
or they feel the need they have to do everything.
Yeah. They don't know when to just like sub things out or talk to the customer. Like talking to a customer about a project is really important, because you have to also see where the customer's at as far as their knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, do they know anything about wheels and tires? Do they know anything about this paint or that or this? Like, so there's just so many, and that's all the management. And then that takes time. So you have to have, the work has to be happening in the background while you're talking to those customers. Mm-hmm. So like, it's a whole thing.
Well, and we also talk about, like, you know, without getting, cause everything's politicized, but you know, we talk about trade schools. We talk about going, finding, you know, higher education, or like, you know, kind of like figuring out how to get to your end goal. Like, that's the other thing too. You know, people go to business school to learn how to run a business, how to do the number side of things, you know? And that's where maybe there needs a team up to happen, you know? Yeah. Like, hey, I'm really good at painting cars. You look like you're really good at running a business. Let's get together and make this happen. And then the world will be a lot happier place.
That's why I always say, like, people are always like, yeah, but I could paint a car and make more money than the dude that went to college. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but you can also be a smart painter. Like, you can also be a smart business owner, not just know how to paint a car.
Right.
Like, so if you go and take some of these certain classes or learn, like, you're understanding how the world works. You're understanding how to deal with different types of people, to where if type A personality comes in, you only know how to deal with type A. But if type B personality comes in, now you kind of understand how to deal with type B personality. So there's all these levels to this stuff. It's not just cut and dry. Like,
yeah.
Just because you know how to paint and you're a great painter, that doesn't mean you're going to be a successful business owner.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people maybe need to think about that. I don't know.
It's one of those things where you just kind of take time and find the successful people and talk to them and then figure out what you're
going to
do.
That's really important too. Go, not being afraid to go ask questions, you know? Yeah. And also, if you're on the other end of it, not being afraid to talk to those people asking questions. You know, I've said this many times before, where like, if you want to talk about screen printing, I almost talk to it at a fault, you know, give away too much information sometimes, but it's because I'm passionate. I like doing it. I like helping people, and I want those people to be, you know, successful. And I don't want to sound like some, you know, it's one of those dudes, you know, just finding satisfaction in what you're doing, because like, maybe not even be successful. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that everybody wants, I mean, everybody does want to be successful and make money and stuff.
But success is relative, right?
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe the success is just being satisfied with your work, not getting frustrated in the beginning,
you know,
and then giving up, but having someone be like trying to do something. And then, you know, you go to someone more knowledgeable about it. You're like, hey, I can't do this, or I'm trying to figure this out. And they help you. That's success. Just figuring out how to do the thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's with anything. That's with painting or photography or screen printing or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big, we're so lucky nowadays that we can skip steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so much information. But I also think people think that just because you can go on YouTube or you can skip steps, that means that they don't have to also learn the old school way,
mm-hmm.
which is doing the thing and also being taught maybe in a classroom. You know, like photography and videos, like people are like, well, like I learned a lot by going on YouTube and I still do, mm-hmm. you know, but if I would have taken a community college class on photography,
you would have been way ahead.
I would have been so far ahead. It took me so long to figure out how things worked. You know what I mean? And if I would have just figured out the three things on that, that make a camera function,
mm-hmm.
I would have been like way ahead. You know what I mean? I had people try to show me and tell me, but I was just like, I don't know, you know, but if you can find the right thing to like inform you, mm-hmm. just to get the basics down, then you go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true for anything.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, so that was all interesting about the whole paint thing and everything.
But going back to the magazine.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
That's the only thing I really focused on, and then I just sort of I glanced over it, you know, earlier.
Oh, did you notice this though, that they put a C10 in the construction zone or something?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed. I was like, hey, that's not a mini truck.
Well, you know, we always say that like you end up in that. Mini trucks are a lot of things. Oh, I just noticed. Yeah. That's cool. I'm sorry, I always forget her name. Jasmine.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna mention
that's super cool. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't know that. I opened it up and I realized that that's her truck.
Yeah,
that truck is so cool.
Not just the truck is cool, and she's amazing
because mm-hmm.
she built that truck. I mean, she basically did everything in that truck besides make the actual metal for the truck, which she's making metal for another truck that she's doing, the Stout. But the photographer, AJ, Redemption Media, mm-hmm. I mean, these pictures are
freaking They're really good. They're really, really good.
Like the depth of field stuff, like he knows he's really good, really good. So
make sure. And then this was also the truck that she cut the bedsides and put in her snowboard bags to bring back to Australia. Is that the one?
Yeah. Yeah, and the window frame and like a bunch of stuff though, and this truck tows like
it tows her. Or it, she towed her Stout with it, right, or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah, like, and equipment.
That's
and
so she, crazy.
Yeah, it's yeah,
that's so cool. Yeah, she has a YouTube channel and she also has a great Instagram. It's
64 Stout.
64 Stout. Yeah,
yeah,
and because the name of her YouTube channel was Chaos Media.
Chaos Design.
Yes. It's right there in the.
She just recently changed it.
Yeah, she changed it to 64 Stout to match that, her Instagram, because her Instagram is going wild,
popping. It's popping. Wild. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I mean, obviously, she's just doing. It's just amazing what she does.
It's literally amazing.
Yeah,
like she's hand fabricating this entire Stout. And Jasmine, if you're listening, I watch her YouTube stuff, but I didn't until she like posted one video where she actually explained really what she was doing. And not only is she like taking this like kind of like rusted out Stout cab and rebuilding all these panels and putting them back together, she's making them better. She's making the proportions better. She's like on the rear back of the Stout. She's like, yeah, when Toyota made this, it's like really weird. It looks like this. It needed this more proportion in this. And she did it. And it's like, oh my God. You know what I mean? So not only is she like rebuilding this truck, she's redesigning this truck.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you know, my one, just an offshoot thought about her and what she's doing. It's going to be interesting to see like the other end of this truck. Like it's such a really interesting build process and watching her put this together. But like when it gets to the other end, when it's finished, like what is going to shine? Is it going to be like, is it like when it's painted, is that going to shine? Like, is it the overall build? Is it going to be the metalwork? Like I'm interested, and it's not like a negative, you know, thing or anything like that. I'm just interested to see like how that is presented. The whole thing is presented, you know?
Yeah. Cause there's like a thing, like if you do a bunch of metalwork, and or a bunch of body mods and then you put a bunch of graphics over it, like it kind of masks the metalwork.
Yeah,
so
right.
Like these are things that you kind of, you know, think about. Like if you look at her Toyota and those steel wheels that are on it, it's not the wheels that are highlighted in that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like the metalwork in the bed's highlighted by the paint. You know, like
if that was just paint job.
if that was just black bedliner, like it wouldn't shine through like that. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, and then, yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, she's so super freaking talented. I would love to have her on. So if she ever comes back to the States, to
Australia.
I was gonna say if she ever comes to the States.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Either way, yeah. We definitely have to sit down and talk with her because she's doing amazing, amazing things.
Yeah,
and I was looking forward to the stuff that she's putting out.
I love those steel wheels on there too.
What I'm looking at them, what are they all? I guess I could read the article. And
yeah, you read the article about Doug's truck. Why don't you read the article?
They're Detroit steel wheels.
Yeah,
I didn't know if they were
like a factory transport wheel or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they almost look almost like Titan wheels, transport Titan wheels. But yeah, that's sick. Yeah, the magazine's really coming together. Everything is all coming together with this thing, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, I still hate the way they do the show calendar. I can't read any of the damn.
Yeah, that's a thing. There's a couple of the articles and stuff like that still do the whole like image behind it thing.
But from this magazine from the first one, this is the third one. It's like. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you could definitely tell that they're so
like
they're learning.
When I got it out of the mailbox and it was in the plastic sheathing, and like just it just feels so good.
It feels so good.
It feels like a book and it's worth the money that they're charging for it and all that. So bravo.
Yeah. I mean, the you say the money that they're charging for it, it's $25 for three issues.
Next year, I know it's more money.
But even if it was $40 for three issues.
Well, yeah.
You know
exactly
what I mean? Like these books should be, realistically, these books should be between $15 and $20 per book.
Yeah. I think, and I don't know if they're going to be able to get up to one a month, like the original magazine was.
Yeah.
But even if they just did a quarterly and they kept it this quality thick and all this stuff, it's well worth the price. So.
Oh, yeah. The price, if you're tripping over the price.
I don't think anyone is. I just know it did go up, but I'm saying
there's always someone tripping over something, and there's someone tripping over the price.
Oh, 100%.
They're like, whack, when I had mini truck and it was $6 for 2 years.
Yeah.
I remember
and
that.
It was paper thin and black and white and ran by a big corporation. Right. This is just a couple of dudes.
Yeah.
You know, so like.
That's the other side of it, right?
Yeah. You're technically now, before with mini truck and you were supporting a corporation.
Oh.
This is now supporting. Small business.
That is a great point. And you know my particular brand of me, I like that.
Yeah, same here. I think everybody does, especially after what happened in New York.
Oh my God, never mind. Moving on. other than that, I have a question. So if you want to drop in.
Oh yeah, we're dropping in. Ready? Yep. And one, two, three. All right, let's not answer it. Let's do it on the next episode.
All right, we'll
Will.
See you guys next
All right,
week.
That's it.
Will is just punching the side of his car while he's driving.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is a comment on our last episode, and this is from Bu Nguyen on YouTube. He says, "Good morning, Frank and Brian. Congrats on winning a top 25. How often do you compete your 4Runner? How many trophies, awards has it won? Brian, when your truck is done, will you compete it in shows? Great episode. Have a good week." Well, you have a good week too, Bu. Thank you for the question. Yeah. I don't, obviously, people know I don't show my truck often.
Yeah.
I don't show it often. When I do, funny because I was screen capping this question, thinking about it and stuff like that. I enjoy the trophies. I really do. And I have quite a few of them, you know, because mostly when I take the truck, it's like a small cruise night or it's a smaller show, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not out there competing like some of these dudes do, you know, at big shows going for awards and stuff. So I do have a lot of like little, you know, top 25s, top 50s, you know, that kind of stuff. I enjoy the awards, but I don't get like a serotonin thing from them.
It's probably because the way you built your truck, right? So like you built your truck to drive it to shows and hang out.
Basically.
You didn't, if you were to build your truck, you're like, okay, I did the paint. All right, now I'm going to do the interior. Like, I think there's like this line that people pass. where it's like an intersecting line, right? Mm-hmm. So you built your truck literally to just drive it and park it at a show. Mm-hmm. You barely even wipe it down most of the time. Well, you know what I mean?
Hey, I was better last week or the other
weekend. No, I mean, like you're taking more note to that. Mm-hmm. But I think if you were like to take your truck and then put some money and do the interior, because that what happens then is like now you want people to take notice of the things you've done. Mm-hmm. Right. So like right now you don't want people looking very closely at your truck.
That's true. That's a good point.
But if you were to put, you know, $5,000 into the interior, you're like, hey, look what I did. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like this intersecting line of where like now you want the judges to take notice of things and appreciate the things that you've done. Mm-hmm. So that's same with mine. Like I call my Tacoma, I call it the cruise night truck. Mm-hmm. I want it to be able to take a top award at a cruise night.
Right.
I know if I take it to Mini Nats, there's no way, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, but I'm totally fine with that because again, I'm doing this. It's for me, like it's an accomplishment thing. Like I need to do this. And that I think that's like, and then also for fun to be involved in the club and in all that stuff.
So. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. I'm just trying to find out what the heck they're freaking going off about. There's a utility guy out there.
Oh.
We have utilities out here in the high desert. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Here, we have electricity out here.
I don't have a windmill just making electricity.
Yeah. I think that like compete, and that word compete has always been a fun word for me. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like, I mean, you can never compete against some of these vehicles out there. Like right. I was talking to Oliver last night and he was talking to Brett who has the Stranger mm-hmm. and they were talking about Forbidden. And so Oliver was like, hey, you're taking it. And Brett was like, yeah. So like right then and there, Oliver was like, well, I'm not getting best of show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like whatever you're bringing to Forbidden, the Stranger's probably going to get best of show.
Right. Right.
You know, but I explained like to Brett too, this kind of is on the other side of the spectrum as far as
I was going to talk about that. Like, do you get to a point? Cause like, obviously those trucks are just so in another stratosphere. Like
it would be good to talk to Brett, maybe mm-hmm. have him, maybe we'll go up there cause he's in Vegas. We can have him on mm-hmm. and get his perspective. Cause I talked to him for quite a while at Day to Remember. And he gets a little flack for buying that truck sometimes mm-hmm. because it was built by someone else and he's getting trophies for this thing now. But that dude has done a lot of work to that.
Oh
truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not going to see a lot of work to it because it was already like this pristine thing. So it's not like he changed the paint color and made it his own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like that's a very interesting topic about like someone buying something of that stature and then getting trophies for it and their headspace. Cause we could judge all we want from sitting out here, mm-hmm. Armchair quarterbacking things, but that would be a good guest. I'm going to put him on I'm going to put him on the list to be a guest because it would be cool to talk to him about like competing because that he competes, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, and on not only that, but like, that's like as one thing that I've noticed actually, the shift in the scene is it is very rare to see a new vehicle out there. Yeah. Like it's almost when there is a new vehicle or a new truck that's built, it's almost like, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, I've never seen that before because it's usually either an older build redone, an older build, you know, bought just like Doug's truck on the cover of Mini Trucking, you know? Like that's a different truck. That's not the truck that MIC built back in the early 2000s. Yeah. It's a different truck.
It'll be interesting to listen to that. So like I said, he's going to be on our lifestyle. So make sure you guys tune into mm-hmm. that and listen to that because I'm sure they'll touch on this subject or he will. Getting a truck that's been, I mean, even Zach. Like from No Regrets, mm-hmm. whose truck should be on the cover of Mini Trucking. So if anyone from Mini Trucking is listening, make sure Zach's truck on the cover.
That's sort of a big one right now.
You want to talk about a new build.
Yeah.
It's not a new build because he built it a long time ago, but like it didn't change hands. It was still his, mm-hmm. but he took it to this next level, like the level of like the Olivers and the, the Strangers and like that level of build. You know, and that's a rare thing. Like you said, you don't, mm-hmm. we don't see that that often. And it's, you know, it's very difficult to do that to a $2,000 truck.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's always a joke. So, but yeah, I mean, that's another perspective. You know, I can understand how, you know, he gets flack or whatever for that truck. I'm not that. I'm like, I think it's just cool. I think it's just like, because I dream about that stuff too. Like, again, that blue Tundra. Like, I would love to have that truck. I wouldn't do anything to it. I would just, you know, have it and take care of it. And it would just be like, and I think that's because, like, I spend so much time thinking about, like, you know, culture and history and all this stuff together. Like, it wouldn't bother me just toting that thing around. And there's, like, lots of dudes who do it. Tom with all of his trucks. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing that too.
Yeah. He's definitely taking all the, because those trucks need somewhere to go. You know what I mean? Like, we, like, there's the people that complain about the people that buy stuff already done. And then there's also the people that complain. These are usually the same two people or the same person. That there's also the people that complain about trucks going to junkyards.
Yes.
And then there's also the people that complain about, oh, I put X amount of dollars into my truck. Why can't I get it out of it? And it's like,
there's a lot of complaining going on.
There's a lot of complaining and there's a lot of judgment, and I'm guilty of it too. You know what I mean? But in, at the end of the day, who cares, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Well, my favorite one about that whole thing is, I'll see something like an old thing just sitting in a junkyard somewhere about dead. And someone will go like, someone needs to save this. No, they don't.
No, it's actually just a big piece of shit.
It is. It's like you said, it's a $2,000 pickup truck that just ended up in the junkyard.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know,
there's a reason that it's in the junkyard.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And even like one that comes to mind, and I hope he doesn't mind me putting him on blast a little bit, is like Lonnie, when Lonnie found his Ranger, you know, and everybody's like, you got to go get it. And he's like, no, I don't. He's like, I have this super dope F-100 sitting over here. I don't need a Ranger, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, there's disconnects and people's opinions and everything like that. So,
yeah. And I think if like, I always wonder if like I had endless amounts of money, what would I do with vehicle wise? Like, obviously Tom made his decision, you know, and he, his decision was, I'm going to go buy every truck that's for sale. That's within a reasonable budget that people don't want anymore. And then I'm going to take these things, put them in my garage, do stuff to them, different wheels on them, and take them to shows. Like, that he made his, that decision. And I'm always wondering, like, I wonder what, like, I wouldn't never buy a truck like the Stranger. That's just not my personality. I wouldn't, I don't, I'm not like the Festers or the, or that any type. I would, I don't know what I would do. I think actually what I would do is what I'm doing now, or what you will see is going to happen on the Grinder TV YouTube channel this next year. I think that's what I would do. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So, and it would just
do it at a faster, I would just would do it at a faster pace.
Well, I would just say it would facilitate that more. It would, it would like make the whole process, you know, I wouldn't say easier, but it would, it would like just make it easier, I guess.
Because to me, when like you see something at a junkyard and people are like, save it. Me, I go on Marketplace and I see like a really, really nice Dodge Dakota, or a really, really like, not nice, but like a stock car. I'm like, that needs to be saved.
Right.
You know, like a pristine or really close to like hard body. That needs to be saved. Like, not the thing that's already cut up and in a junkyard.
Right.
Like, no, give me the stock thing. I want to save that. And by save it, not, I don't want to keep it stock, but I want to put it, I want to get it properly, put some suspension on it, whether it's a static drop, a bag it, or body drop it, and then put it out into the world to let someone have a functional vehicle and not some pile of crap that will end up in a junkyard because they bought a truck with suspension that doesn't work and it doesn't steer right and it doesn't do the things it's supposed to do. And then they get pissed off because they don't have the budget to do it. Like, I want to take a stock thing that's really nice and running good and make it functionally and then let someone else do it.
Yeah. Imagine if you just had like, you know, an unlimited budget, so to speak. Cause I, it was just, I would just saw a Mazda cruising around here, just completely stock B series, extra cabs. So super clean. If you just went up to that dude and like, I'll give you $15,000 for this truck right now. He'd go like, you couldn't like hand it over to you fast enough kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then
also like to just live in that whole like world of like, what would you do is like, what I would do is just what we always talk about. You're like, hey, have you ever seen this car bagged and laid out on nice wheels? I would just do that all the time.
100% Me and Dower talk about that all the time. And I told Dower, when the United States invades Canada and takes over and they become the 51st state, and it'll be a lot easier for him to move down here. And
just build weird
and
stuff.
And just build weird stuff. Ford Taurus station wagons, body dropped on 20-inch deep dish billet wheels.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
just dumb.
It's park like wagons like, laid out.
Yes. Dodge Dakota is like,
yeah.
Yeah. There was the YouTube channel called Grind Hard Plumbing Company.
That sounds really familiar. Have you sent me stuff about that?
I don't know.
Oh, but I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. They just build I don't know where they're at, where it snows somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they just build random stuff like Barbie Jeeps with full long travel suspension.
Uh huh.
Like just crazy stuff. And I just think that would be so much fun to do.
Yeah.
You're not limited to certain things. You're just like, oh, that would be fun. I have the money and the knowledge to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. And then like when it's like, hey man, it's going to be like, you know, 60 grand to lay this car out. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Can you just do that for like a year, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing too, that like would be cool, is just like, I'm going to hire you, whatever your salary needs to be for the year. I'm going to hire you. And then you build this thing for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I have a plan that I'm slowly putting into place. Well, a little more fast now, but I'll talk to you about on the post. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the direction I'm going, but in a very much more budget-friendly way.
Right. Reality.
Yeah,
in a more reality way.
Yeah. And my lotto tickets didn't hit last night, so I can't hire Panda full-time.
You turn Panda into your personal like fabrication.
Chef. Yeah, like my personal chef.
Yeah, some people have home chefs. You're like, I have a home fabricator.
I got a home fabricator.
Yeah. I just saunter out into the garage and say, make this for me. And he does.
Yeah. He's just out there in a butler suit that's all greasy. He doesn't have the butler. He has like the welding leathers on.
Right.
And he's just out there like,
it's like
cooking breakfast.
This is a deep cut or whatever, but on that movie Big Check, when he had a McDonald's inside of his mansion, and then like someone made like a skit about it, like what does the guy do like when the kid's not there? It's just Panda just sitting in the shell like this, like,
yeah.
I wonder when Brian wants to make something.
Yeah, I don't let him see his wife or kids.
Sorry, kids, this is the only way I'm gonna put you through college.
It's you or all this money. I don't know.
I know, right? Anyway, sorry.
So here, that's a good question for everyone in the comments. If you had $1 billion, because that's like an unlimited amount of money.
Right. You can't say a million. If you had $1 million.
$1 million, yeah.
I would still go to work on Monday.
Yeah, a billion is like the most money anyone ever needs ever in their life.
Right. Even $100 million is a lot.
It's a lot.
Let's just say, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, what's that thing? That like, cause my thing, this is gonna sound stupid. My thing was always like, I'm gonna have a Slurpee machine if I'm ever rich,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna have a Slurpee machine. Yeah. I don't know if I would do that now, but that was my thing like when I was younger.
Right,
I'm gonna have a Slurpee. But a lot of times, you know, when you're younger too, like I'm gonna have a Lamborghini. And like the funny part is like a Lamborghini is not so far out of reach these days.
Mm-hmm.
And also back in the day, I remember I would bag a Lamborghini because like who would bag a Lamborghini?
Right. And now everybody does.
It's like a normal thing.
Right.
Yeah. So like for people out there, like what would you do? Would you buy a mansion? Would you buy a boat? Would you buy like, what would be your thing?
And we don't want any like, forgive me. We don't want any lame stuff like, oh, I'm buying my mom a house. No, we want to know what stupidly do.
We want to know what your stupid thing that no one else would care about.
Yeah.
That you would do. Like, would you put a movie theater in your house so you could sit with a popcorn machine?
Right. I'm talking
stupid shit like that.
I'm talking like, I want cars coming out of the ceiling, like kind of thing.
Like not even that. Like even just the, like the cars coming out of the ceiling. Cause we would all have like a nice house. We would all buy make sure our parents were good. We would do all those things.
We want to know the ridiculous.
But then what's the thing for you?
Yes.
Like what's the Slurpee machine?
Yeah.
No one's ever going to have a Slurpee machine. Like a real 7-Eleven Slurpee machine.
Yeah.
Like what would you do? What would be your thing?
Let us know. Well, either drop them in the comments of this video or go to our IG, which is The Drop of Frank and Brian, all one word. Go over there. We'll drop us a message.
Because Frank's, as he's reviewing this video, is going to make a teaser.
Yeah, I am.
At the same
right
time.
Right here.
Not wait till Tuesday or Wednesday.
No, yes, no. Monday. Monday.
Right. Monday morning. This will be the teaser.
And then cut to the thing.
There. And then what would you do?
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. What else? I think that was it.
I think so. That's all I got.
Yeah. Are you going to Sever this weekend?
I'll be at
Have
Sever.
Have fun.
Yep, I will.
And we'll talk about that. And then next week, you're coming out for the Christmas party and probably podcasts.
We'll see.
We'll talk.
We'll talk.
All right.
Literally, we'll talk.
We'll talk after this. Livelifecustom.com, grinder-tv.com, audio equipment, giveaways. Thanks.
Alan Eds Escondidos.
Alan Eds Escondidos.
Thanks, everybody. Switch Suspension, everyone that comments all that stuff.
Yep. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.